Hey, my name's Otis Gray, host of the Daily Book Club, a daily podcast where I read wonderful old books one chapter at a time. Simple as that. Whether you want to get engaged and lost in a fascinating story that has stood the test of time, or just relax to a good book, listen to the Daily Book Club to get wrapped up or unwind during your day. We'll read classic stories like Pride and Prejudice, The Enchanted April, The Wind in the Willows, beautiful stories all told from start to finish. And you can even do a real book club. Tune into the Daily Book Club Discord and discuss the readings with other book club listeners. However you want to listen, it's your choice. Subscribe to the Daily Book Club on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else. New episodes every single day. So sit back, relax, and get lost in the Daily Book Club.
Amateur Traveler, episode 206. Today, the Amateur Traveler talks about beautiful beaches, leprosy, and saints as we go to the Hawaiian islands of Lanai and Molokai. Welcome to the Amateur Traveler. I'm your host, Chris Christensen. Before we get started with the interview, I do have a couple news stories for you today. The first one, Travel Channel, was sold this week, sold to Scripps, that also owns the Food Network. And for those of you who have watched the Travel Channel recently, you can understand why there might be some synergy there, as they seem to talk about food as much as travel. The second news story caught a lot of press, and that was when a San Jose mom and her cranky 2-year-old were kicked off a Southwest flight. The 2-year-old was screaming so loud that Southwest said passengers could not hear the passenger safety announcement, and so they took action. They have apologized for the inconvenience, but not for the action. And a lot of people have been lining up behind Southwest on this one, because apparently they have also been on flights with screaming 2-year-olds. And I'm very sympathetic to parents of young kids, but I've been on one flight that I can think of with a mom who couldn't control a young kid and could not keep her in a safety belt. And so that might have been an appropriate action in this case. The world's largest cruise ship, the largest one ever, 5 times the size of the Titanic, set sail this week. The Royal Caribbean Oasis of the Seas. It's made to hold up to 6,300 passengers and 2,100 crew members. It's always interesting to look at cruise ships and what a high crew to passenger ratio there is on them. And as they left port, it had to pass under a bridge that only allowed 1 foot clearance, even with the smokestacks telescoped down. So if you're looking for a sailing experience in a small town, that would be the one for you. For links to these stories and others, check out the show notes at amateurtraveler.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Pam Mendel. Pam Mendel is a travel writer at both Nerd's Eye View and Holoholowale, and also a ukulele empresario. Pam, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Chris. Empresario is really an expansive word for my skills.
Is that a long word for an instrument that only has 4 strings?
It is, and also I'm not an empresario so much as I am an enthusiast.
And I noticed that just this morning your face was gracing the cover of worldhum.com talking about using your ukulele, or ukulele, depending on where you're from apparently, as a device for meeting people. So
yeah, that's right. I wrote that story quite a while ago, and I'm really pleased to see it go live.
And in case people haven't guessed yet, with the names like Holoholowale being thrown around and ukulele, we're talking about Hawaii today. And in particular, we're talking about one or two of the islands, depending on how much time we get, that don't get as much traffic, Molokai and Lanai. And I don't think I'm quite saying that right. You're supposed to pronounce every vowel, right? So it's Molokai?
That sounds right to me.
Okay. So Pam, why should we get off the beaten track? Why shouldn't we just go to Oahu and Maui and the Big Island and Kauai, which are all lovely islands? Why one of these other islands?
Each of the islands is different. The vibe on each of the islands is different. The way you feel when you're on each of those islands, to me, is very, very different. Waikiki is super urban. You go to the North Shore, it feels a bit more natural, I guess, right. is the word I'm looking for. It's less developed, but in general, Oahu's pretty bustling. Maui, there's lots of golf courses and resorts. a friend of mine called Kauai the Pacific Northwest of Hawaii because it's kind of this green, crunchy, hippie sort of place.
Sure.
Oh, and the Big Island, of course, which actually is one of my favorite places. There are a bajillion things to do there, but it's big. It's really big. I think people forget how big the Big Island is. But Molokai and Lanai are, first of all, they're tiny. They're really, really small. And you can crash through everything that's listed in the guidebook in maybe 2 or 3 days if you decide to do that. You go to those places to sit and look at the water, to talk to people, and to just sort of absorb what life is like in the middle of the Pacific in this very mellow, unrushed kind of way. That's why you go there. It's for the feeling.
Okay. And I know you have a favorite between the two islands.
Molokai. Molokai. I sort of lost my heart there.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about the other one first, because I think we can get it out of the way relatively easily. Mm-hmm. What will I see if I go to Lanai?
So there's a place on Lanai called the Garden of the Gods. That's the English name for it. It's a bad translation for a Hawaiian name, which I'm not even going to try to say.
Oh, but the best part of the show is hearing you pronounce the Hawaiian words. So
I'm going to try to say the Hawaiian name for this. So bear with me here. It's Keahia Kawelo. Keahia Kawelo, which means where Kawelo makes fire. There's a legend about this place that there was a contest between two kahunas, one on Lanai and one on Maui. There was a competition to see who could keep the fire going the longest, and supposedly Kawelo built this fire at this place on Lanai, the Garden of the Gods, and now it is stripped of vegetation. There is no vegetation there. It is dry and red and dusty and gorgeous, incredibly gorgeous, this red, rugged landscape. And according to the legend, the reason it's bare of vegetation is because of this fire-burning contest. But that's one of the big sights you go see on Lanai. There's Sweetheart Rock, which is just off the coast where the ferry comes in, and that's a very pretty and interesting geologic structure. There were some places we couldn't go because the roads were washed out. What happens is you arrive there, you get a four-wheel drive Jeep because that's how you get around there. The speed limit is enforced at 35 miles an hour, I think, is the maximum. It's very slow. There's a little town, a little village where the Hotel Lanai is, and there's some shops and some restaurants, but that's almost it. There's also an expansive four-season resort and a golf course.
And then we're done with Lanai?
Actually, there's one site that's pretty under-visited, and if you're interested in Hawaiian culture and history, it's worth going to the Lanai Culture and Heritage Center, where they have artifacts from 1,000 years ago, human occupation on Lanai, and mm-hmm. all the way up to when Lanai was transformed into pretty much 90% pineapple.
Yeah, is it still pretty much a Dole pineapple plantation?
No, now I believe it's owned by Castle and Cook, which is a resort developer.
Oh, okay. All right, so we may expect to see more things on Lanai in the future.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what the Lanai development plan is. I can't really say.
Okay.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Molokai, when most people hear of it, they think, if they know the history, they think leper colony, which isn't something they're probably putting on the front of the tourism brochures for Molokai anymore.
Except that actually Molokai is in the news right now because Father Damien, who worked at mm-hmm. the colony in Molokai, has been declared a saint by the Vatican. Yeah.
And I voted for him. I think it's well-deserved. Seriously. Well, not the voted for him part, but the well-deserved part.
Did you see the movie?
I haven't seen the movie.
It's actually worth it. I was a little bit skeptical going in, but I thought it was actually a pretty good telling of the story. It's Jeremy Irons, and I think it's just called Molokai, the Father Damien story. So, yeah, the leper colony is in the news, and we're not supposed to call it leprosy. We're supposed to call it Hansen's disease, mm-hmm. and we are also supposed to know that it is a curable condition, but at the time, it was kind of a horrible story. Yeah, Molokai is, I think, most known for that, but that's actually on kind of, if you can imagine, a more remote part of the island. Yeah.
And when you say a more remote part, what I'm struck by when I see pictures of Molokai is these jagged mountains, and it looks like there are several very remote parts of the island from the topography.
So Molokai is beach on one side, and it kind of goes up, and then it sort of drops off. And at that point where it drops off, there's a mule track, and that goes down to the colony. the settlement down there that used to be the leopard colony. There's still some occupants there. It's a national park site now. And you can go and visit, although you have to go with a permitted tour.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can't just show up there because there are still people living there who are suffering from Hansen's disease.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's some regulations. You can't take kids who are under the age of 16. I think they're trying to make sure that everybody behaves like an adult when they're down there. If they see things, if they see people who have conditions that are maybe not so attractive, that the kids don't freak out.
Hmm. Okay.
But I'm speculating.
Okay. Well, what else should we do on Molokai?
Oh, you should just hang out at the beach. Actually, my absolute favorite moment on Molokai was we had been running around like crazy doing guidebook research. And that's crazy work, right? You're rushing from place to place. And we had finally gotten to a point where we could stop. And we didn't have time to go down to the settlement. So we knew that that was not going to happen. But we did have an afternoon free. And we went to the beach. And there were these two local guys standing there. They had the pickup truck with the bed down and an ice chest full of beer. And they were fishing. They lived in Kaunakakai, which is the center town for Molokai. And they said to us, yeah, sometimes you just have to get out of the city and go fishing. And I
out
just
of this
started,
city?
Yeah. I just started to laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Because Kaunakakai is a kind of a one street, two street town. There's not a whole lot there. But we hung out and talked about fishing, and they told us about how they used to be truck drivers in Las Vegas, and I was sort of floored by the idea of choosing Vegas over where we were at that very moment. They played some music on the radio, and we just sort of hung out there, and that to me is this quintessential Molokai experience. That's what you do on Molokai. You go to the beach, and you hang out, and you think, wow, it's really nice here. I kind of like this. I could stay here forever.
And Pam and I just met up in Vegas at the Blog World Expo, and Pam is more of a Hawaii person than a Vegas person, I think it would be fair to say.
That's fair to say.
Which is good, because the ukulele doesn't come in quite as handy in terms of meeting people necessarily in Vegas, so.
No, but check this out. I was on the airplane next to a woman who had gone to see the Bette Midler extravaganza. She showed me the catalog, which has all the dancing girls and the costumes and everything. And in that is a shot of, guess who? Bette Midler playing, guess what? A ukulele.
So you said go to the beach and hang out. Which beach? What are the three best beaches in Molokai?
Oh, I can't answer that question. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't tell you the name of the beach we were at. Actually, it's funny. I had a talk with a guy who said that the maps and guidebooks tend to name the beaches wrong.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And so he said to me, you know, make sure you get the names of the beaches right. I'm like, what are they supposed to be? He's like, well, you know, some of them have English names. Some of them have Hawaiian names. Couldn't track them because they're giant Hawaiian words.
I found that was my problem when I went to drive in. Our last trip over there was to Oahu. But the Hawaiian alphabet only has so many letters. So it has, what, four consonants and lots and lots and lots of vowels. And so the words get very long. And so I find my mind just going, okay, turn left at the street that starts with an H and is like a mile long.
Yeah, yeah.
And then turn right at the street that is starts with a K and is half a mile long word. So
yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? You have to sort of plan your trip before you get in the car, because even if you have another person to read the signs for you, the person who's there reading the signs can't parse them in time for...
Well, especially in Oahu at highway speeds.
Yeah, it's impossible. Okay, this map is really not helpful. It doesn't have the names of the beaches on it.
How do you get there?
We were West Molokai at the end of the road. You just go to the end, park the car, find the beach. I don't think it matters where you go, actually. There are a bunch of beautiful, pretty little beaches, and they're all uncrowded. There's just not that many people there.
Okay. And the beach at the end of the road, a good beach for swimming, snorkeling, hanging out in the sand, surfing, body surfing.
A lot of these beaches are rocky, and so I don't know that I'd recommend them for surfing. We saw lots of surfers on the other end of the island. Let's see, is that east?
Towards Maui.
Yes, towards Maui.
Okay.
The other nice thing to do there, actually, is to drive east all the way to the end of the road, because there is a gorgeous, gorgeous beach down there, too. And it's very rocky, but, oh, it's just stunningly beautiful. The drive is amazing. You look out over these big green cliffs, and then you look down into this gray sand cove. There's taro growing down there. Oh, it's just beautiful.
And when I've had enough beach time, you talked about the great big green cliffs. Is there a hiking trail, for instance, on Molokai like there is on Kauai on the Nepali coast? Or do you just look at the cliffs from the distance?
Well, you can actually do the hike down to the settlement. So you can hike down to Kalaupapa and you can use that trail. And that seems pretty grueling. It's a pretty stiff and going down, maybe not so bad. Coming back up, wow, really hard. And also you have to share that trail with the mules and it's narrow. It's very narrow. But there's also a little forest reserve that you can go hiking in and we did that.
Okay. Best day you've had on Molokai?
Oh, that day down at the beach with those guys fishing, hands down, hands down. It was just such a perfect encapsulated moment where we were in Hawaii. It was like this perfect Hawaii moment when we were there. When we get sold Hawaii as tourists, that kind of feeling is what we're looking to achieve. And you don't get there very often. It's very hard. That was it. It was just like we were there. But then also the other thing that we did was we went down to the beach camp for the Molokai Ranch. And the Molokai Ranch is closed now, which is really a shame because it's a lovely place to stay. They have tent cabins down on the beach, and then they have a really nice lodge. And we went down to the beach just to check it out. The guys who were working down there, they didn't have a whole lot to do either. And so we spent a long time shooting the breeze with these guys as well. And I guess that's the crux of what made Molokai so great for me was that we spent a lot of time just kind of hanging out, talking to local people. That made Hawaii feel like a very real place for me.
Cool. Any places you would recommend to stay now that you can't stay at the Molokai Ranch?
The Hotel Molokai is right on the water. I guess that's not saying much when you're a Molokai because it's so small, almost everything is right on the water. And I think you can rent some condos also in Molokai, but the Hotel Molokai is cool and it was recently renovated. We took a tour of it while they were in process of renovating it. And it's got these little two-story, funky little Polynesian-style architecture units with kitchenettes. I liked it. It looked like a fun place to stay. And also, it's supposed to be the place where they do music on Friday nights, entertainment. So you can't find a lot of that on Molokai. This is, I believe, the only place you can do that.
And when you say music on Friday nights, are we talking about the Maui, Oahu, Big Luau sort of thing? Or are we talking about something more traditional?
That. People come in to play music. Local people come in to play music.
Okay. Well, that sounds much more fun. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Any places you would recommend to eat? Which is always a theme on the amateur traveler.
Yes. Place that's most famous on Molokai is the Kanamitsu Bakery and Restaurant. And they are famous for their stuffed bread. And you really just have to try it. You just have to try it.
Okay.
They make it sound like it's a big secret, but supposedly it's on the web. You can find information about it all over the place. About the backdoor run after dark, after the bakery's closed, but they're back there bakering. So you go there at night and you knock on the back door and you buy it from there rather than from the counter during the day. And actually, that's fair advice because if you show up at the counter during the day and you're too late, they've got nothing. They are cleaned out. There aren't that many places on Molokai, so everybody goes there.
Is stuffed bread like a sandwich or?
Have you had Hawaiian sweet bread?
Oh, sure. Yeah, love it.
It's like that with stuff in it.
Okay.
It's yummy.
Okay. And what kind of stuff is in
Hawaii? Fruit. You can get fruit.
Fruit. Okay.
Yeah, we saw strawberry, pineapple. Depends on what they're making.
Okay. And they make whatever they feel like making today.
I can't really speak for them, but it's Molokai, so I suspect they do. We were walking by a shop in Kaunakakai, and there was a sign on the window that said, "Hours. 10 o'clock to 3:45-ish.
I like it.
That is awesome. I'm going to work those hours.
My wife's mother lives in a small town in Virginia that closes Wednesday afternoon because I think the fishing is good. So I think it's the same sort of.
Same kind of thing. Oh, you know, the other thing we had on Molokai was awesome ice cream at the Kamoi Snack Shop. And again, it's not going to be that hard to find. There's not that many places. They sell Dave's ice cream, which is a Hawaiian ice cream. Mm-hmm. And It was delicious. Oh my God. So good. So good.
Okay. Anything that the guidebooks recommend that you'd say, eh, pass?
No, not really. Just because they're such small places, you might as well make the most out of it.
Okay. And then anything that they miss? Really, really should be in the next edition of the Lonely Planet or whatever guidebook you're using.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I think, like I said, these places are not places that have vast quantities of services or options of places to stay. They're small and everything gets listed. There's just so few options that saying, oh yeah, you should skip that is like, well, you know, maybe the pizza's not that great, but maybe you've eaten everywhere else on the island and you feel like pizza, you know? So to say that, no, you shouldn't bother with that is, it just depends on how long you're there. You could prioritize based on how long you're there.
Okay.
There's some places that the food is just so-so, it's not great, but once again, the options are limited. So, you know, it's sort of, okay, I'll do that. It's fine.
Okay. What was your biggest surprise first time you went to Molokai?
I didn't think I would fall so hard for it. I had heard that they talk about Molokai as the friendly isle mm-hmm. and how it's the way Hawaii used to be. And honestly, I didn't quite believe that. There's been a lot of tension between tourism and Native Hawaiians. I just didn't experience any of that on Molokai. Everybody was so welcoming and so friendly. And the fact that it lived up to the hype, I think, was the biggest surprise for me. I thought, how great could it be? And then it turns out, wow, it's actually that wonderful. It's actually that great.
And is there anything you wish you'd known before you went to Molokai?
I'd wish I'd known that I needed to spend a lot more time there. That's what I wish I'd known. Our trip was way too short. Oh, you know what? There's actually something practical and intense that I wish I'd known. We did both islands by ferry, right? You can travel by ferry to both islands. And in the morning, the crossing is really, it's lovely. It's beautiful. I get seasick, and so I took some meds before we went to Molokai. A lot of people were looking over the rail on our crossing to Molokai. I thought it wasn't that bad. But when we came back...
So you mean looking over the rail in a euphemistic sort of sense?
Yes. There was some fish feeding.
Fish feeding, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when we took the ferry back from Lanai to Maui, we came into the middle of that channel there. The skipper came on the PA and said, yeah, if you're up on top deck, you might want to come down below. We are entering the portion of the crossing that we like to call the washing machine.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I was really sick. I have never been that seasick. It was rough, rough, rough. It was really bad. You might want to think about how you get to and from those islands mm-hmm. if you don't have a cast iron stomach. I asked at the dock the next day when we were taking off from Molokai, I said, is there a morning crossing? Because the morning crossing tends to be a little better. And is the afternoon crossing always this rough? And she said, you know, the Maui Channel, it's kind of a rough crossing. And you want to take your meds if you have a problem with that. So that's something that I really wish I'd known, because when we got back from Lanai, I was miserable for probably 24 hours. I had been so sick. And then I had the side effects of taking the meds for it. I was really miserable. So I wish I had flown. And we actually ditched our tickets on Molokai. I wimped out. I was like, I'm not doing that again. I can't do it again. And we ditched our tickets and bought an inter-island back to Maui.
So you flew back. Okay.
Yeah, we flew back instead of taking the boat back because I just couldn't face it again. Having done that crossing 2 days prior and been so sick. It was so rough. It turned out they had extreme tides while we were there because the following day a boat slammed into the pier and broke it. It was really rough. So conditions were exceptionally bad. However, it's worth checking into and asking about if that's something that you're affected by.
Okay. And we're winding down here. One picture you have that really brings you right back to Molokai.
My husband took a picture of a site where the fish ponds are. They're restoring the fish ponds on Molokai.
Mm-hmm.
And
the traditional Hawaiian fish ponds.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's early aquaculture. The Hawaiians were fish farming before most of us were.
Right.
That makes me sound like I'm fish farming in my backyard.
How's the fish farming going? Okay.
My husband took a picture facing across the fish ponds, and the water is not quite flat. It's just a little bit rippled. And there are these beautiful, perfect palm trees, and the beach is covered with coconut husks. And I look at that picture. I had set it as my desktop for a really long time. There's some big fluffy clouds in the sky, but it's clearly a sunny day. And it is the quintessential tropical paradise photograph. There was nobody else on the beach there. And so when I look at that, I just think, oh, that's Molokai. Oh, I wish I was there. My windows are speckled with rain and the sky is really gray. And I'm thinking about that picture of Molokai and the sun and that beautiful blue water, those unspoiled beaches. They're just clean and empty. I just think, oh, yeah, that's the place to be.
And finish this sentence for me. You really know you're in Molokai when what?
When you have that feeling of time stopping.
Interesting. And last question, if you had to summarize Molokai in three words, what three words would you use?
I could do two. I could do two. Totally mellow.
Okay, great. I'll owe you a word then if you come back on the show. You get four words. So
I'll use it for something else.
Pam, thanks.
You're very welcome.
Thanks so much for coming on the show and sharing with us your obvious love for Molokai and your, not so much love for Lanai.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
The travel resource I have for you today is not something I have tried personally, but something that caught my eye on the Engadget blog. Actually, I think I heard about it on the Net at Night podcast. Jibigo is a iPhone app that apparently translates from English to Spanish and back again from the spoken word. And so the idea, at least, is that you speak a phrase of English into the application and it will translate it in real time into a spoken phrase or sentence in Spanish. If anyone has tried it, it is not an inexpensive app. It is $25. Let me know how that really works. In news from the community, my current hosting provider, the one that provides generously the bandwidth that supports this show, is called Wizard Media, and Wizard is a member of the Association for Downloadable Media, which is the ADM, and the ADM is conducting a survey about podcasts, and Wizard would love for you to take the survey as a listener of this show. The URL for that survey, and I'll put this in the show notes as well, is takethesurvey.com/wizard, WIZZARD. I had an email recently from Eleonora, and Eleonora is a friend of Russell Fielding who we talked to all about the Faroe Islands, where Eleonora has lived for half a year as well. The email says, on his last day here, when I brought him to the airport, I asked him what he would listen to on his long flight. He told me about your podcast, so I searched for it on the internet, and in this 1 month, I have listened to half of your podcasts. Wow. Well, I can listen to them at work, and it is great when it becomes a bit monotonous to dream of faraway destinations and how the interviewees have spent their time there. I enjoy the way you do an interview very much every time I get another perspective, sometimes from a budget traveler and sometimes from a person who stays in expensive hotels and does tours. You get very different people on your show, and listening to their stories makes me very happy. I particularly enjoyed the episodes on places I have traveled to myself or places I have lived. I get another perspective, hear what has changed, and I am highly motivated to visit that place again. Thumbs up. If you ever want to do a podcast on the eastern part of Germany, I can give you some tips. That is where I lived for a long time. Well, I have one tiny criticism, I must admit. One episode I did not enjoy so much was the episode on Ukraine. The interviewee focused on the western part, of course, and I understand why, but great parts of the country were missed, great cities and rural areas. I feel that the episode covered the border region to Romania, but not the whole country. What about Lviv, Kyiv, and I can't pronounce my Ukrainian names, Odessa and the Krim, Jalta and the Northeast. I've been on many places on my trips to Ukraine, including the Chernobyl region, and they're totally different from the Carpathian Mountains. And this is probably the critique that I get most often, is that whenever we cover a destination, we don't cover it in up depth, or we cover this city, but we don't cover the one next to it. And as I recall, the reason why we didn't cover the other portions of Ukraine on that show is our guest hadn't been there, and so really couldn't speak to them. And that's always going to be the case, that we won't cover everything, and that just leaves the opportunity for another show. So if you know of some place that we have covered, but we only covered the western half, or we only covered the southern half, or something, go ahead and pitch me the other part of the city, the other part of the country, and we'll see what we can do. I have two things I'd like you to check out on the Amateur Traveler website this week, and one is the Amateur Traveler Manifesto, what the phrase amateur traveler means to me. I thought you might be interested in that. In addition, also check out the new redesign of the website and tell me what you think. With that, we'll bring this episode of the Amateur Traveler to a close. So again, check out the website. Don't forget the ADM survey. And remember, if you want to get in contact with me, you can always leave a comment at amateurtraveler.com, or you can send an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, or catch me on Twitter at twitter.com/chris2x. And as always, thanks so much for listening.
I got to see one more cathedral. I got to sit in one more cafe.